Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. I'm so glad that you tuned in because I'm going to be talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. There's a traditional African-American hymn that goes like this. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. I really love that hymn because it talks about Jesus when you get up, Jesus as you go throughout your day, and Jesus when you go to bed. I want to talk to you about something real, not necessarily religion, but something personal and intimate, a relationship. It can be expressed through religion. I'm a Catholic priest, and we celebrate Mass in ritual, but it goes beyond ritual. It's something personal and intimate. When I talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, first of all, I'm talking about intimacy, depth, knowing. I'm also talking about you grasping the fact that he died for you personally on the cross. That, by the way, is what this means. This is my sign. It means the passion of Jesus Christ in the languages of the cross, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So you know that he died for you on the cross and that you are forgiven. That's part of a personal relationship with Jesus. And the third aspect is you know that he loves you. Wow. Do you know that Jesus loves you? And you know that because his Spirit has been poured into your heart. So I know that term, a personal relationship with Jesus, has been kind of thrown around at people, and you know, it's kind of a phrase that people use, but it really boils down to this: intimacy. You know that Jesus died for you on the cross. I profess a vow to that. My first vow is to meditate on the cross and proclaim it to all the people. And then you know that he loves you. You're filled with his Spirit. Christianity is something that is Christocentric, Christianity. It has to do with, the word Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, but it has to do with a relationship with Jesus. And I don't want you to lose that. You know, no matter how religious you are, there can be something more. Now, I was never all that religious growing up. I was born and brought up in the Catholic Church. I was baptized as an infant, confirmed in the eighth grade. But religion didn't really do it for me. I never seemed to get it. It didn't really seem to make sense. But then something happened, something that has happened to millions of people down throughout the ages. I wrote a book called He Touched Me. Jesus has a way of touching people right where you are. No matter if you're in the middle of sin, a divorce, a breakup, tragedy, maybe you're not even looking for God in your life. He has a way of reaching out and touching all people. So I invite you to come to Jesus during this program and to receive. Even if you're religious, and most of the people that watch my program are, you can be born again, you can have new experiences with Jesus, and you can have greater depth. I want you to know that you know that you know that he died for you personally. I was playing golf recently, and the man that I was playing golf with, knew that I was a priest. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, I have some questions for you. He says, I know you're a priest, but how do we even know that Jesus Christ existed? Well, that's an interesting question. He was kind of embarrassed asking it of a priest, but you know, after experiencing Jesus and being filled with the Holy Spirit and being baptized into him, think about whenever I go swimming and I plunge myself into the water, that's what baptism is. You are surrounded, you are immersed, you are drenched with Christ. That reminds me of a story of this young man that came up to me at Easter time. He was in high school. He said, you know, I went to Easter Mass and everybody's singing about the resurrection and I had all these doubts. How do we know that Jesus even existed? How do we know he's resurrected? And what I told him is, young man, what I've experienced is that he lives in me. And I know he's risen because he's in me. And he touches me and he loves me. So that question, how do you even know that he existed? There's books out about the search for the historical Jesus. You know, they want to know exactly what he looked like and exactly the year that he lived and where he went and where he was educated and all that. Well, I think rather the search ought to be for the risen Jesus, because it's the risen Jesus that touches your heart and transforms you and brings you eternal life and the forgiveness of your sins, salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Wow, 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 wow. So that's what we ought to be after. You know, the search for the historical Jesus is good. And by the way, there were some writers, apart from the Gospels, you know, we have the Gospels. I'm answering the question, how do we even know that Jesus existed? First of all, I told you, because he lives in me. And many of you could testify to that too. So, I mean, the transformed lives are the witness. But, you know, for those of you with scientific minds, the four Gospels that we have certainly bear witness to Christ in a powerful way. The church that has been grown for the last 2,000 years, whether it be Protestant, Catholic, many other denominations, Pentecostal, there's so many denominations that have grown out of Christ. There were historians, the Jewish historian Josephus, the Roman historian Tacitus. So there's documents about this. But the bottom line is, the Gospels themselves aren't even concerned about what Jesus looked like. They certainly talk about Jesus all the time, but they're not concerned so much about what he looked like or even where he lived so much, but about what he can do for us. And what can Jesus do for us? Jesus himself said, I haven't come to call the righteous, I've come to call sinners to repentance. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. So in other words, he has come for all people. Come to me, he said. If you're burdened by life, if you're confused, if you don't have purpose, this whole series is called A Different Spirit. And because of Jesus Christ, we are given a different spirit, a spirit of meaning and purpose, the Holy Spirit of God that gives us eternal life, gives us peace and strength and power and destiny and a rebirth. And we know that we're on the way to heaven. Now, as I said, I was never all that religious, but when Jesus touched me, as you can see now, I'm very religious. But more than religious, I try everywhere I go, and I preach parish missions across the country. That's a Catholic version of a revival. And I appear on television quite often, radio. I've written 22 books to date. Everywhere I go, I try to talk about the real person of Jesus, the risen person of Jesus, and that you can have depth and intimacy and know that he came for you personally. For God so loved the world, we hear in the gospel, that he gave his only begotten son. Well, we know that God so loved the world, but what I try to impress upon people, and I want you, my viewers, to know, and especially you, my partners, you who have dedicated yourself to my ministry, that he came for you personally, every bit as much as he did for me or the Pope or any other religious person. He came for you and he loves you. So in the documents of the gospel, for example, we don't see what he looked like, but we meet a personality in the pages of the gospel. And the personality is a very zealous, feisty, passionate person who lived on the road, lived as an itinerant. I'm an itinerant preacher. That means a wanderer. You go from place to place. So he would sleep outside, going from town to town, because he wanted to teach people. In fact, he taught with such gravity and such beautiful simplicity and such power and wisdom that one time when he was teaching, 5,000 people were there for 3 days and they ran out of food. They didn't want to even go home. They just wanted to hear him preach. His beautiful Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and all these wonderful teachings like do unto others as you would have them do unto you and love each other and the peace that he would give. People were captivated by his teachings. And these teachings have revolutionized my life. One time they sent guards to try to capture him. He was teaching in the temple. The guards came back and they said, "Where is he?" And they said, "We couldn't bring him. Nobody has ever taught like this man." Even the guards knew that he was the Son of God. And that's the question in the Gospels. Remember one time Jesus, there was a great storm, and I preached about that in one of my talks. And Jesus stood up in the middle of the storm, and he calmed the storm. The storm stopped. And at the end of the story, the disciples that were with him said, "Who is this that even the storm obeys him?" Now, granted, he's in his ministry, he multiplied loaves and fishes. He healed blind people and crippled people. He even raised people from the dead. He calmed storms. He taught like nobody ever has. And so now they're asking, who is this? That's exactly what the Gospels are trying to answer. Who is Jesus? Especially the Gospel of Mark, the first Gospel written, not first in the Bible, but first, scholars tell us, written. Gospel of Mark, Matthew and Luke came from it. John, kind of an independent gospel. They're trying to tell us who Jesus was, because that's what everybody wants to know. Books, scores of books have been written about Jesus. Who is he? And movies have been made and plays have been done. I know I wrote a book about Jesus. I call it Come Encounter Jesus. We don't so much need to know all the specifics about his life and even where he was brought up or what he looked like, because the Gospels don't even tell us that. But we want to have an encounter with Jesus. We want to come to know the risen Jesus. So the Gospels are asking, who is he? And what the Gospels are trying to proclaim, and what I want you to get, is that Jesus, it says this right in the Gospel of Mark, and right in the Gospel of John, "These things are written that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God." He's not just a human, and he was human. He's not just an ordinary human being. He's the Son of the living God. And because of that, we can come to be children of God. He became human so that we could become divine. Divinized is the word. I love what it says in the creed in our Catholic Church. This is the Nicene Creed from 325. About Jesus, it says, "He is the only begotten Son of God." Would you believe that? Simply trust that he is God's Son. Born of the Father before all ages. God from God. Light from light. True God from true God. Begotten, not made. Consubstantial with the Father. Wow, 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 wow. So, what would make fishermen leave their nets, their boat, their father, their family, and immediately follow him? What kind of a charismatic person must Jesus have been to have a notorious tax collector who loved money sitting in a tax booth all of a sudden leave all of his money and follow him? And another tax collector, a wealthy chief tax collector, climb a tree to see him, and then when Jesus calls him down and just has dinner with him, He gives fourfold what he had taken from people, and he gives to the poor and changes his life just by having dinner with Jesus. He's the Son of God, and he can change your life too. A woman friend of mine who was brought up Catholic was listening to a teaching tape one time, and the tape talked about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, she shouted out, "Stop the tape and replay it." And she heard it again. You can have a personal, you know, she had religion. She'd been born and brought up Catholic. She had the ritual, the rubrics, the mass. But she wanted to know about this intimacy that you could have with Christ. And as she heard that tape, she made a surrender. She gave her life to Christ and experienced what many have, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. We were never meant just to have religion. Yes, religion is good, and I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm a Catholic priest. Religion is wonderful, and it's a way to express our faith. And it's a way to express worshiping God through Christ. But that's not all there is. If you have a dollar bill or a $100 bill, it's worthless in and of itself. It's just a piece of paper. But you go to Fort Knox, and you see all the gold there, and that's what gives the paper value, paper money value. It's the same way with our faith and with religion. Really, the ritual in and of itself is nothing, but it's what it stands for. It's the sacrament that it is. It mediates the very presence of Christ, who stands behind the church, who is the foundation, the rock foundation of the church itself. So what I do as a Catholic priest is I call people not even to become Catholic. You choose whatever you want to become. I'm happy with that. But what I call you to is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what it means to live with passion. I tell you all the time, don't just live with passion. I want you to realize your potential, and I want you to grow and become all that you can be. Most of all, I really want you to know God in a personal way. This is revolutionizing, because like that man that came up to me and that young man that came up to me, many people don't know who Jesus is. They've heard about him. They know about the churches. They know about the gospels, but they haven't had the encounter like so many did in the gospels. And that's what the risen Jesus brings. An encounter. Again, it doesn't have to be dramatic. I believe as you're watching this program right now, he's going to touch you. That's the way he is. His risen presence transcends time. And it goes right through the TV screen, right into your home, right to you, right to your heart. Tell Jesus you want something deep and real. Ask him to reveal himself to you. I believe he will. Come to me, he said. All you who labor and are heavy burdened. That's the only prerequisite, that you're struggling, and I will give you rest. I will give you life. He said, I have come that you may have life and life abundant. I remember when I was a young man, I grew up Catholic, really didn't know Jesus. I had religion, but didn't really know the person behind it. Yeah, I prayed, but nothing really real. Nothing, didn't know forgiveness. I didn't know the Holy Spirit. Well, I went to a play, and that was when I was a teenager. I was dating a girl in college. The play that I went to was called Godspell. Godspell was the Gospel of Matthew acted out in theater and dramatic, humorous. And, you know, I wasn't even going to church at the time, but as I sat there, this is called conviction. I was like going, it's true. It's obviously true. And that's what Jesus said about himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pilate said, what is truth? And that's a question that many people are asking. In the midst of a world of many religions and many philosophies, people are saying, what's real? What's the truth? Well, I invite you to take Jesus at his word, and that's why they couldn't arrest him, because he taught with such beauty and such authority and in a way that nobody else ever have. Can you imagine the claim, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Nobody ever said those things. And he is the truth. And that's what I saw in that movie, that play, excuse me, Godspell. And I remember telling my girlfriend, I said, you know, I don't feel a part of it. I don't feel like I belong to God, but someday I'm going to look into it. Someday I'm going to look into it. Someday I'm going to look into it. And I did look into it. And wow, God is so faithful. God is so good. And if he'll touch me, fallen away, sinful, could care less for religion, was never all that religious growing up, just didn't pray all that much. If he'll touch me, he'll touch you too. You know, I'm nobody special. I'm just like you are. I've become a priest because I simply want to proclaim the good news. I mean, when you've been touched, you want to tell everybody. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus in when the sun goes down. And that intimacy, he walks with you. Even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, even though you go through the hard times, I've talked about suffering in these programs. What he does is he takes your life and he makes you significant. And he raises you up even now, never mind the resurrection on the last day. Eternal life begins in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is everything. And I want you to give your life to him. I also saw the movie Jesus of Nazareth. That really touched me. I saw the beauty of Jesus, really important. I've led pilgrimages to the Holy Land. I've studied in the Holy Land. And I remember when I was in Israel, right by Jerusalem is this gold dome-shaped church on the Mount of Olives. It's the Church of St. Mary Magdalene. And it has seven gold domes. Remember, Mary Magdalene, sinner, out of whom seven devils was cast. That's what it says in the gospel. So they've got the seven domes. I think they stand for the seven deadly sins, pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, anger, sloth, that we all have. So in a way, I think that that church stands for all of us, and how appropriate, it's right by the Garden of Gethsemane, how appropriate, it's right near where Jesus was crucified. Jesus first appeared, not to the apostles. Jesus gave the message of the good news to a woman, to a sinner, to somebody that had demons. So that tells me that no matter what you've been through in your past or what you're going through, he loves you. And he can revolutionize your life too. So I think that that church stands there as a sentry, as it overlooks Jerusalem itself, because that's exactly why Jesus came. As the scriptures say, his name means, Jesus means Savior. He came to save us from our sins, to bring us eternal life. I remember I led a pilgrimage to Israel, and when I brought 30, 40 people there, we went to Galilee and Samaria and all these different places, Cana. We went up to Caesarea Philippi, where Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ. Then, of course, we went to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, there was so much to see. But where I really want to talk to you is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That's traditionally, and that church was built around the time of Constantine, at the Emperor Constantine back in the 300s. That's an old church. It was built traditionally over where Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. The sepulchre is the tomb of Christ, the empty tomb of Christ. And so when I gathered all the people there, we were right by Mount Calvary, a limestone quarry. They still have an altar right up above it. You climb the steps. And I gathered all the people and I said, you know what, we've come to Israel, but I don't want you to miss the main point of it all. It wasn't just to retrace the steps of Jesus. It was to realize Calvary, that he died, he suffered his passion for you and for me. Now, you've come 5,000 miles on this pilgrimage all the way from the United States, and I'm not going to let you go home until you give your life to Christ. Do you believe that he died for you personally? And it was wonderful to see those 40 people surrender their lives to Christ. Would you right now with me give your life to Jesus Christ, who loves you, who came for you, who is the Son of God, I believe that you will have an encounter with Christ. Just close your eyes and let me pray. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you suffered and died for me so that I could be saved. I trust you as my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to you now. I want to live for you. I love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I'm praying for all of you as you've prayed with me that you will have a personal relationship with God. Did he exist? Yes. How do we know? Because he revolutionizes our life and he brings us eternal life. He is the Son of the living God. And why did he come? He came for you and for me so that we could live forever with God in heaven and have passion now on earth. I'm hoping that you're going to visit my website, write me, tell me about your dedication to Christ, call that number, and we'll help you the best we can. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again.